Well, welcome everybody here this morning as we have gathered together on this Lord's Day to worship our God together. We have quite a number of visitors with us, and we're thankful that you're here. We hope that you'll follow along with us as we study a little bit about God's Word this morning, particularly as it pertains to what some people refer to as Armageddon, the end of days, apocalypse, and so forth. Over the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to look at Armageddon, the term in Revelation, and what it's referring to. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the man of sin or the man of lawlessness. But today we're going to look at a particular term that many people refer to, some people think has already come or will come sometime, that will mark the end of days, known as the Antichrist. This is a term that is very popular in religious circles, particularly among those who look at the Bible as still having some major events to take place before Christ returns. A lot of it is connected to millennialism, the idea of a thousand-year reign either before or after Jesus returns. But regardless, if you hear the term Antichrist, usually somebody is predicting the coming of the Antichrist, or they're pointing to somebody in history who was the Antichrist, but it's almost always exactly the same. It has a definite article, the Antichrist. One specific individual, one specific purpose that they have, that would set on course a series of events that would destroy our world, or at least come close to it. This morning I want to talk a little bit about what the Antichrist, or who the Antichrist is, in the Bible. As I said, the reason why we're going to go through some of the things is because a lot of people point to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They point to some specific individual that they think is going to come, set themselves up as God, and that Paul is saying that the Lord will not return until this event happens. Maybe it's a particular pope that will arise, maybe it's a particular dictator that will arise, but they directly associate the Antichrist with the man of sin or the man of lawlessness from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sometimes they will also incorporate all of these scriptures into Revelation 13. There are two beasts that are mentioned in Revelation 13. Sometimes the Antichrist is associated with the first beast, sometimes with the second, or both. And as a result, sometimes even beyond specific individuals, people have tried to connect America as being the Antichrist of prophecy in Revelation 13, or Islam, or some other belief system, or country, or individual for that matter. Some believe that he will start Armageddon, as I mentioned. We will talk about Armageddon in the next 2 weeks, as well as the man of sin. But they connect Armageddon as a reference from Revelation to the Antichrist. And then there are those who more generally apply it to TV being the Antichrist, the internet being the Antichrist, rock music at one time was the Antichrist. Maybe there have been many Antichrists in terms of the TV, internet, music, YouTube, all that stuff. But what does the Bible say about the Antichrist? If you have a friend or a neighbor who has discussed with you or has talked to you or asked you about the Antichrist, it might be interesting for them to see how they react to the fact that the term Antichrist, Antichristos, is only found four times in the Bible. And it's all by the Apostle John and all in a single letter that John writes. All three of the four in a single letter, the other one in his second letter. And we want to note those occasions this morning and try to understand what it is that John is talking about when he refers to the Antichrist. Because of so much misunderstanding, let's see what God has to say about it. Starting in 1 John chapter 2, we'll note, starting in verse 15, a very well-known part of Scripture that reminds the saints that this world is not our home. It reminds the saints that we need to be careful about how much connection we put into this world. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, verse 17, is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, John establishes the truth, the perspective that every Christian needs to have, that this world is not our home. This world is passing away. The things of the world, sin, temptation, all of these things that God has described for us as needing to reject, to flee these lusts, flee these sinful things, pursue righteousness and godliness, John reminds the saints not to be part of these things. So then in verse 18, he says, little children, it is the last hour. The last hour is directly connected to verse 17 about the world passing away. Well, what is the last hour? Obviously, it wasn't literally the last hour of the world. But in terms of the last section of time, the last era of man, the last period of time in which God has given his will to his creation, we're in it. We've been in the last hour for 2,000 years. We may be in the last hour for another 2,000 years, but there will be no more dispensation from God. There won't be another Messiah to come and sacrifice himself for us. Jesus did that once for all for us, for sin. We are in the last hour. Verse 18, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, what John describes here, verses 18 and verse 19, are kind of the basis of this concept of the Antichrist. We know it's the last hour. He says the Antichrist is coming, and describes in verse 23 or 24, he describes the what you've heard from the beginning, let it be in you, the eternal life, verse 25. All of this that he describes is then taken and put into a narrative or thought process of one particular event that is going to take place. But it's important to understand that in both verse 18 and in verse 22, which we'll read in just a minute, there is no definite article. In the Greek term here, the Greek phrase, the Antichrist, it's not the Antichrist. It's simply Antichrist, Antichristos. So when we read this, try reading it without the for a second. Little children, verse 18, it is the last hour. As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Verse 21, or verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Notice how John uses this not so much as a proper noun, the Antichrist. He uses it more as an adjective, a descriptor, to describe the type of individuals that, notice he says, have already come. And then in verse 19, they went out from us. The ones specifically that he is talking about, these are individuals that were Christians. And they have fallen away from Christ. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they turned away. They went out from us. They went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. How so? Because their teaching and telling people things that are not the truth. Well, what's not the truth? John says, you know the truth. I'm writing these things not because you don't know the truth, because you do know it. You know that no lies of the truth. Well, what are these Christians who have fallen away? What are they doing? They're lying. What are they saying? Verse 22, they deny that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, literally against Christ, whoever denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. Whether we're talking about Jewish brethren who have turned back to the Judaistic ideas of the Messiah, maybe they've decided they don't want the spiritual Messiah in Jesus Christ. Maybe they want their warrior king to kick Rome out of Judea and reestablish the kingdom of Israel. Whatever it is that they were saying and teaching, they were denying that Jesus was the Son. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. But John specifies who these individuals were. They are Christians who no longer are serving God. And John, in this text, encourages these brethren to stay faithful to the truth. This is why he said earlier in verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. It would seem as though the reasons why he's describing the lust that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the world is passing away. This is in contrast to these brethren who've fallen away, seemingly because of their love of the world. Again, whether it was because they wanted their physical Messiah or some other aspect that would enable them to love the world and to be in the world and deny Jesus. John says in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1, 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1. So 1 John chapter 2 verse 18 is our first occurrence of the word Antichristos. Verse 22 is the second time. The third time is here in 1 John chapter 4. Starting at verse 1, John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, he's talking about spirits here. Some people read into this demons or angels. No, he's talking about the spirits of man, individuals. He says, do not believe every spirit. Were spirits talking to me? No, people are talking to me. In fact, the context of what John's dealing with is false teaching. That's part of the reason he's writing 1 John, is addressing some of this false teaching these brethren are dealing with. Do not believe everybody that comes and claims that they're teaching the Word of God. Test them. Well, how do you test somebody to determine if they're teaching the Word of God? You use God's Word. Well, this is what I was taught by the apostles and by Jesus, and what you're teaching isn't what they taught. And John warns that many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. If somebody claims to have the Word of God in them, in the context of the present situation that John's dealing with, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ, verse 3, has come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. It is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. John describes, again, this Antichristos attitude against Christ. And when he describes this, he says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. It would seem that this may be slightly different than the teaching that he's referring to in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, they're denying that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, perhaps there's another teaching, or perhaps the two were somehow connected to one another, that Jesus may be the Son of God, but he didn't come in the flesh. because it was being taught even as of the end of the first century that the flesh is inherently sinful. And if Jesus really is the Son of God and he came to earth, he couldn't have been flesh and blood because he was perfect. And God can't be flesh and blood if flesh and blood is inherently sinful. Therefore, Jesus didn't come in the flesh. John says, this is the spirit or the attitude of Antichrist against Christ, which you have heard was coming. They were warned about these false teachings. Paul warned about false teaching over and over again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warned, the Spirit expressly warns that in the latter days, some will come teaching doctrines of demons. They'll come forbidding marriage and so forth. The apostles were often very specific through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about what false teachings were going to be coming down the road. When John says, you were told, you heard, it wasn't just that Antichrists are coming. They had heard that people are going to come around and they're going to start teaching either that Jesus isn't the Son of God, which that was going on even before John's time, even before John writes 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, or that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, and that's specifically what he's dealing with here in chapter 4. That Jesus couldn't have come in the flesh because the flesh is inherently sinful. The brethren had been warned about that. Heard that this was coming. We told you, we warned you that this was coming, and now it's here. People are teaching that the flesh is inherently sinful, therefore Jesus can't be the Son of God if he was in the flesh. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Notice the connection back to chapter 2 and in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Why? Because the world is passing away. They, these antichrists, these individuals who once were Christians but have now fallen away and are either teaching Jesus is not the Messiah or they're saying that Jesus did not come in the flesh, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. We, verse 6, are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 6 is a summary of what verse 1 was all about. Test the spirits whether they are of God. Verse 6, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How so? Specifically about the teaching of Jesus being in the flesh, or not being in the flesh, as the case was. And yet here, the broader aspect of this is the teaching of truth. You test it, you measure what they say by what God has already taught, by what you have already been told is the truth. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those who listen to the truth will repeat the truth. They'll do the truth. Those who don't hear us, they will teach the spirit of error. Now, moving on to 2 John. 2 John, there's only one chapter in 2 John. And starting in verse 4. 2 John 1, verse 4. Once again, this is the final time that John is going to use the term Antichristos or Antichrist. He says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, as he's speaking to this congregation, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment. That as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh.
Antichrist, look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things that we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine or teaching of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And then John goes even further, verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. John, as he's addressing a congregation specifically, addressing the brethren as they are walking in the truth, he mentions the term antichristos. Again, no definite article. Not, this is a deceiver and the antichrist. It's antichrist. What's antichrist? He who has gone out and does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's antichrist. And thus, verse 8, look to yourselves. Why? Because brethren among you have gone back out into the world. They're no longer following the truth. Now they're claiming Jesus didn't come in the flesh. And perhaps this is just two sides of the same false teaching. If he did come in the flesh, then he wasn't the Messiah. John is warning these brethren that the Antichrist is these individuals, this attitude that is contrary to God's word. And when does John say that this is going to happen? He says it's already happened. He says, this is the last hour, and many have already gone into the world. They have come from us, but they were not of us. They hadn't committed themselves to the truth, and now they were going and teaching things that were wrong. They're already in the world. What John doesn't mention is a single person that is the Antichrist. What he mentions are brethren who have an evil attitude, who are teaching things that are wrong. And John warns and encourages the brethren, particularly there in 2 John, don't even have association with them. If someone comes to you and they are teaching these things that are not of God, do not take part with them. Because they're not of God. When will the Antichrist come? Antichrist has already come. There are antichrists today. People with the same attitude, the same teaching, who have fallen away from the truth for whatever their motivation and are teaching things that are wrong. It's been happening for 2,000 years. Okay. All right, preacher. We see these four times the term antichristos is used. There in 3 in 1 John, 1 in 2 John. We understand. So why is it that my friend, my neighbor, my coworker, that television show that I saw on TV, this web article that I read on the internet, how come they're linking it to, for instance, Revelation? How come everybody goes to Revelation 13, or they go and they talk about Armageddon and Revelation? Why do they talk about Antichrist in association with that? I don't know. I mean, I do know. I know that what their interpretation of Antichrist is a single entity that is coming, and they put these different pieces together, pieces that were never meant to be put together. They take the idea of an Antichrist, they take the idea of Armageddon, they take the idea of the man of sin, and they put them all together. And they say, the Antichrist is going to come and it's going to spell doom for the whole world. And when this happens, and there's going to be signs. Back during the Gulf War, people were interpreting passages from Ezekiel and Isaiah about the helicopters coming out of the desert and so forth, thinking it was the end of days. But nowhere is the term Antichrist found in Revelation. There's no mention of a single entity associated with Armageddon in Revelation. the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it describes judgment on those who have fallen away. That's true. And that is a connection to John, because John describes brethren who have fallen away. But what Paul describes, which is in a context of the coming of the day of the Lord, but he's talking about judgment. Not once does Paul use the term Antichrist. And Paul is not referring to a single individual upon whom the entire coming of the Lord is based, waiting for that person to come. And there isn't any mention of objects, technology, nations being associated with Antichrist. John refers to people. He doesn't refer to churches. He doesn't refer to Rome. He certainly isn't referring to TV or the internet or anything like that either. These are people with souls. People who at one time were faithful who have now fallen away. So when we use the term Antichrist, how can we use this term in association with what the scriptures teach? The exact application of the scriptures in relation to Antichrist is about Christians who fall away, who are teaching dangerous things. Things that will cause people to lose their souls. That's the specific context in which antichristos is used. However, the term itself, antichrist, literally means against Christ. So then what kind of different ways can we apply that which is against Christ? Those who oppose Jesus as the Messiah? There are lots of those. Lots of other religions with false gods, including Allah. Allah is not Jehovah. Those who oppose Jesus as the Messiah would technically be against Christ. Any attitude that goes against Christ and what he has taught, because it wouldn't just be that Jesus is the Messiah, or just the fact that Jesus came in the flesh or didn't come in the flesh, those aren't the only points about the gospel that would be considered false. Any other aspect that is contrary to the teaching of God's word would literally be anti-Christ. Well, what about people who associate popes and Caesars, like Domitian, who was in the time of John and persecuted Christians terribly? What about Hitler and other dictators who have caused suffering? Well, those who draw others away from the truth is what the context is of what John is using antichristos for. Again, in the context, it's Christians who have fallen away and are drawing others away. But whether they're Christians or not, if I'm teaching things either against Christ or against the truth that he taught and that the apostles taught, he came in the flesh, it's against Christ. The term has this mysticism attached to it because of all this hype that people have placed on it and associated it with disparate things in Old Testament and New Testament and said they're all talking about the same person. But that's not what the scriptures teach. It's another example of taking certain passages out of context, making them say what you want it to say. Because there's that mystery attached to it, see? There's that expectation and this great big Armageddon war that's going to take place, and the Antichrist is going to be leading the charge, and there's all this myth kind of associated with it. And that's all it is. It's myth. It's story. Stuff people made up. It's not what the scriptures teach. And if we're going to follow John's advice about staying firm in the truth of his word, if we're going to follow John's advice about not loving the world or the things of the world, if we're going to keep the perspective that John gave the brethren, that this world is passing away and the things in the world, we need to remember to keep everything in its context. And so, when we refer to the Antichrists, We might can use that term to spur a conversation, talk about maybe the antichrists of the Bible, and then we could go to 1 John and describe what these antichrists were. If somebody brings up, you know, I wonder if so-and-so, with all the political situations going on right now, so-and-so might be the antichrist. The end of the world, World War III, it's all the same thing and it's coming. You know what? I'll show you what the antichrist is all about. In the end, it's about following God's word as God gave it. Not allowing our imaginations, not allowing our sense of mythology or sense of hype, or thinking, oh, there has to be more to it. There has to be mysteries in there. It kind of captures people's attention. But God says that all the mysteries have been revealed now. In fact, the term mystery in the New Testament literally means that which once was hidden, but now has been revealed. There isn't a term in the New Testament for that which is still hidden. It's that which was hidden, but is no longer, as it relates to the term mystery. God has made his word clear. We need to make sure we listen. We offer an invitation this morning to those who are not Christians to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. What else would be antichrist? Well, it would be antichrist to teach that baptism is not needed for salvation. When Jesus himself said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus that a man must be born of water and the Spirit if he hopes to enter the kingdom of heaven. To say otherwise or to take water out of the equation would literally be antichrist. Antichrist's very words. For those of us who are Christians, let's make sure we never find ourselves as part of this group that John describes of those who came from us, but were not of us. Never let it be said of us that we fell away, and as a result of our falling away, have also caused others to fall away as well. Let's make sure we hold fast to the truth of God's word. If there's some way we can help you this morning, come forward as we stand and sing.